Friday, Terry Manchester, Chof of Ov, Chesron, Toshin, Pei Beis, Reb Motzi Pesen.
They say the joke about two boys in school, and one boy says to the other boy, "Do you pray? Do you pray before you eat?" The other boy says, "No, my mother makes very good food. There's nothing to pray for." Sometimes we pray, we expect different things. We daven with different intentions in mind. There's certain mitzvahs where, the most seasonal mitzvahs, Pesach, Sukkot, Chanukah, Purim, and every year it comes around again, and every year you hear the drashas about it again. And there's some mitzvahs that are so common, and there's no specific time, that sometimes it's not spoken about so much. And some of them are spoken about, but however much you speak about it, there's always more to talk about, because it's something that we come ruggle with, something we are so familiar with that we forget the importance, and it's something that just becomes regular day-to-day life. And therefore, again, it's something that needs chizuk. Tefillah, brachas, davening is something that we do so often, we sometimes forget the importance. Sometimes we become ruggle with it, not sometimes, I should rather say, always we become ruggle with it, and therefore it's something that Chazal said, is a tovah tzara chizuk, claim that constantly needs chizuk. It's not something that you think, you know, I've heard enough, I've fed up, which probably everyone has, but it's something that constantly needs reviving again and again. Shmuel Binker says that he once was offered to speak in Lederman's, but in his manner they had a program where different people spoke, and he said all the Gedolim used to come, Reb Chaim used to sit there, Aaron Levy used to sit there, and before, on the way to his drasha, then his son was with him, and his son said to him, "What are you planning to speak about?" So he said, "I'm planning to speak about the importance of the bracha of Ashiyotza." And his son said, "I hope you're joking. This is Ledman's. This is the Rolls Royce of Talmid Chachamim. You're Reb Chaim, Aaron Levy, and you talk about Ashiyotza. You're gonna really make a fool of you. So how can you do that? Talk about something proper. Give a nice shtickle. Show you gadlus. Take a whole encyclopedia work that you've worked on, and something you can produce and make a good impression." I'm sure Rebbe says, "Look, I'm not in it for the COVID, he was already past that age. Certainly wasn't in it for the money." He said, "I think Ashiyot is something that needs a chizuk, and even Gedolim, they say it so many times a day, it's something you say every day of your life, you forget the importance." He said, "No, I'm going to speak about Ashiyot." The famous Shia Kradikud. You can get the Shia of Rebbe Pinkas and Ledman, but he talks about the Brach of Ashiyot. Because something that's rogel, even the greatest people can sometimes forget the importance. Shmuel Binkers once spoke to kids, and he talked about brachas, and he said to the kids, "What does shakol mivari mean? Shakol mivari, every time you open a drink, shakol mivari." He says, "You think about the words you're saying, it so fast." And he said to the kids, "Why is it that I take longer to make a bracha than you do?" So I'll tell you why. He said, "I'm older than you, so my arm is longer. So from the packet to my mouth, it takes that bit longer. Therefore, I take longer than you." He said that the timing of a bracha very much depends. If you want to see this come to its pinnacle, then you go to a Kiddush Shabbos morning, and you look at the time frame from the end of the Hagofen till the first piece of cake is eaten. Because I talk about a hair of fine, remember, it's the shortest space of time that's shaykh to imagine in this world. So I think that sort of personifies the model of this time frame very much. Now, I'm sure they all said mezonos beforehand or something, they had some other cheshbon. I'm not judging anyone, we're all the same. But sometimes when it comes to a very important situation, like it's 4 hours after a long davening, and the chazan thought we had the best voice in the world, and finally get to the kiddush, and you're looking at these cakes, and they're winking back at you, and you stand there like a poor guy till the person decides to finally make hagofen. So the mezonos sometimes can be slightly compromised in a very minute way. So Shmuel Binker was telling these kids that most times it depends on the speed of food to your mouth, the length of your bracha. Something that needs a chizuk, I'm not going to don't want to discuss having the kavanah of Shem Hashem, when to make a bracha, rather the very, very basic idea of kavanah. Most times, when we talk to people, well, not, I was going to say we think what we say, but that's not so true. But at least what we say, we know what we're saying. When we say a bracha, usually our mind and our mouth are not synchronized. We don't put the two and two together, we're saying the bracha. The point is to discuss about learning during davening. It means when you're not when there's chalas or shats. You are davening, you're saying the words and you're learning. Now when you're learning, or you're doing anything, you're thinking about something else, you're texting, your mind is busy. to talk and have your mind somewhere else doesn't really work so well. You watch these people have a conversation with you, they're like, yeah. I hear them, are you doing something else? No, I'm fully concentrated. You know very well, they're preoccupied. When we talk to Hashem, I don't know how it should be, but it probably should not be worse than you talk to a regular person. And many times we have, I was thinking just this morning, I was at home, had breakfast, I was thinking about to make a bracha. How would I make this bracha? I was thinking, I'm speaking about this, I have to be careful today, at least I should be careful. How do you make our brachas? And many times, because we do it so much, and the food is so exciting, and we're sitting there, and we don't have much time or patience, we're very busy people, therefore the bracha sometimes gets minimized to a very short amount of time, and the kavana isn't always there. You see, I was had a roommate in yeshiva, and he went to buy his Friday afternoon lunch, which consists basically of his whole Shabbos meal, and he sat there with the Hamidiyah, and I was in the room, and we had a running commentary on every single article in the Hamidiyah. This guy's wrong, he's a Meshuggah, he's a Rashi, he's a Ganuf, he's a liar. Everyone, he had a very good picture. And then afterwards, he said to me, to that bench, I said, I don't know, but I know you're at the Hamidiyah. That much I heard. Now, I'm not saying you have to bench better than you'd read the Hamidiyah, but the point is that our talking to Hashem sometimes is lower than I wouldn't say lower talk to people, it's way, way lower than that. It come out, you walk out of chakra sometimes, and he's like, what just happened? The last 45 minutes, where was I? I don't even know what happened. You just, so sometimes a person is so removed from the words that he's saying. And that was something that needs chizuk constantly, when we daven, we say the words, which have kavana, we think what we're doing, think what we're saying. As someone told me yesterday, for anonymity, we won't say his name, but there's a very holy Jew that lives on Leicester Road, and he told me that he stood next to him once in davening this year, and he heard that every bracha he said, the bracha shachar, he first said it in English. He said, thank you Hashem for not making me a goy. Baruch atah Hashem for making me a goy. Why? Because then you train your mind to think of what you're about to say. Many times people, even by the art scroll, the interlinear, and sometimes you just, davening just seems to pass you by, you're just not sure what happened. Whereas if you talk to Hashem, Shusha brings you to say, how do you daven? How do you talk to Hashem? He said, I'll tell you the whole secret to davening. He had written a tefillah on, a sefer on tefillah, Sharon B'tefillah. Shulchan Kineski told my father, it's the best sefer that's come out over 200 years in tefillah, probably since the Sefer Shavuidah. And there he encapsulated the whole tefillah, the 13 Mahakam in tefillah. And he said, Shusha brings, I'll tell you the whole secret to tefillah in 30 seconds. The whole thing. You want a tefillah, it's presumably Sfarim, so much is written on it. People spend their life, job, trying to attain level in tefillah. I'll tell you what tefillah is. When you tefillah, when you daven, you think you're davening to the person. What does that mean? If I don't know, if I wanted to prepare the speech before I came, so you stand at home and you go, talk about this, but you don't talk, whereas you talk publicly, you talk to people, you talk to anyone, you make sure you say the words, and you hopefully, sometimes, concentrate what you're saying. When you talk to Hashem, so Hashem doesn't exist, there's such thing. He says, you're not focused. Whereas if you know Hashem standing there, and you're in front of him listening, you say, Baruch Ato Hashem, you're talking to a real entity, a real being, a real person, then you focus much more. That's the whole secret to davening. You imagine, I'm talking to someone, I can't see if he's behind the wall, but I know he's there. When you know he's there, you're much more careful how you portray your tefillah, how you bring it across, how you daven, how you put your koichas and enthusiasm into the tefillah. And through that brings out the genuine aspect of the tefillah, and that's real davening. So he summed up tefillah in 30 seconds. It's davening, it's really talking to someone. It's mamish and if someone's really there. How funny to say, as if someone's there, he is there. We should hope. But that's the way you do it. That's where you daven. Oh, I've got something important to tell you. Now that you say very carefully. But Hashiyotza, it's just, right, get out of the way, we're done. Right, now let's move on with real life. Whereas you were saying, it's not like that. Hashiyotza, you talk to Rebbeinu Shalom. It shouldn't be worse than the way you talk to a person. The Sefer Chassidim writes, a person washes his hands, he makes out his dime. He makes a bracha on any fruit, any food, he has a piece of cake, he has a coffee, anything he has or drinks or eats. Oil and mitzvahs, or other mitzvahs a person does. Ashagurus b'fikol adam. Same as rogil, you're always constantly saying it, you're constantly doing it. You should have kavana to talk to Hashem. It's very interesting. I tell you, when you talk to someone, you should have kavana that you're talking to them. Well, yeah, what else? Why would I waste my time talking to someone if I have no idea I'm talking to him? Obviously, you're doing that. But somehow, because the Rebbeinu Shem is more of an abstract entity to us, it's not someone we can see, someone we can feel on a physical level, ever we sometimes forget. Says Sefer Chassidim, or the Rishonim, says you make sure when you daven, you're saying it as if you're talking to someone proper. The Rebbeinu was shehivli chastu yimoy. Hashem would have done so much chastu with you, and he gave you the food. You shall stay focused. Remember, he gave you the food. And he continues, Oh my God, Yisparuch li Yishaya. The Rebbeinu said to Yishaya Novi, Yishaya, re'ei my sibona, see my children. Ke'einum ela lifnim. They're only on an affront. They're not really doing it internally. He knows, he just does what he's brought up with, this is what he's ruggled with, this is what he sees everyone else do. But I'm a basic mispalim, they come to my shul to daven, before I, tefillis hakavuos, every day, good religious Jew, three times a day, shachnum chamarim, all his brachas, he says shema. But loy leiv, there's no heart involved. Every night comes your day, they wash their hands, bevorachin, and his day, beboitzim, they have their bread, vorachin, brachas hamoitzi, shayis vorachin, kamoish adova, shogu bafim, saying this ruggle. They're not mechavan when they made this bracha. Again, Chor Api, the Rebbeinu continues with the Nevuah, and he says to Yeshaya Novi, that's why I'm not happy with the Yidden. You think people are doing things wrong, people out there murdering people, I don't know what we can imagine, why the Rebbeinu would tell Yeshaya, I'm not happy possibly because they're davening, they're anyway doing it. If it's something you're not doing, and I say, right, new Kabbalah, from now on we're going to do A, B, C, big Kabbalahs, too hard, I don't know, maybe yeah, maybe not. But he's saying, yeah, anyway, doing it, all you have to do is focus. That's why the Rebbeinu Shem is upset, he tells Yishaya. Seems like a shame to make the Rebbeinu Shem upset with us over something that they're anyway doing. Do have to focus and put our mind to it properly. Now this really plays its way out in many, many different aspects of davening, of brachas. The Shulchan Aruch says as well, by Hilchos Brachas, that also lasts melocha be'ev oid mevarach. You don't want to do anything while you are making a bracha. Why? Because it takes your kavanah away. Now many times, you see people, there, as they're making the bracha, they're opening the microwave, or they're cracking open the can, or they're opening the wrapper. Really, strictly speaking, to have full kavanah, besides for respect, even if you get leave respect aside, Pasha kavanah, a person's busy doing something, you don't always realize what he's saying. Shulchan Aruch says, whether it's davening, he's on my brachas, all these different aspects of tefillah, a person should be careful not to be doing anything while he's making the bracha. Why? Mishmur says, Mishinirikim avarach b'derech harai, it looks like you're doing it without any care, or mikra, just as if it's a passive act. Even something small, something very, very minimal, just moving something around. You watch people, it's very interesting. I'm a big observer, I like to watch these people. And you see, a person could sit there by any simcha at home, and he's schmoozing, he's relaxing, comes to benching, and everyone gets fidgety. You see, everyone's doing, they're moving into the bottle, the cups, the bencher, cleaning the crumbs away. Everyone's getting very fidgety. Why? Because benching is something that I probably don't know what I'm doing here. So therefore, I've got to entertain myself. So if you don't have a fidget spinner or something to keep your hands busy, so you see, everyone, you watch people, they put the bottle here, put the bottle back, and they put the salt shaker there. Because the person feels he's fidgety, he has to concentrate, he needs to do something. I'm just going into zombie mode. But if a person really concentrates the proper kavanah, okay, he feels like he's really motivated, he's really connected, he's really affiliated with what he's saying, a person wouldn't feel so fidgety. He says in Mishabura, that's why a person is busy doing other things when he makes a bracha. Again, I don't understand how a person could learn while he's davening, because the mind is focusing, always flipping back and forth very, very fast. But both seem to be a half job. He says he shouldn't be doing the Reteret Pshas and Mavarach because a Muslim, because he's a Moira ala Yusuf Bechel Muslim, that's the Iraq ala De Mikra. It shows that you're not really interested, you're not really motivated, and therefore your Kavana will be very limited. So those are the two starting points with Tefillah. A person should always have Kavana with everything he's doing. Comes to Shemana Esra. The person told me he has Kavana every bracha for the first second. That's also good. As long as you start the bracha, there's Kavana there. There's got to be somewhat small amount of kavanah, at least we should try and focus on things that we're saying anyway. So to benching and brachas and different times throughout our day, whether it's ashiyata, whether it's shahakal niyah b'dvarai, person should always have kavanah what he's doing. Another one of my favorites, again, as I said, I like to observe what goes on, is Kaddish. Most people, I think, maybe I'm wrong, have never thought about most of Kaddish. And most of you hear, he's Kaddish. I don't think the person saying it, I don't know what he's thinking. And I'm sure, I know for myself, it's very hard to try and think, every word you focus and think, what's this tefillah all about? And again, because we say it so many times, it's something that, I think there's very little kavanah, to be generous, at all with the Kaddish. And many things like that, Ashrei, Ashrei v'zech, Ashrei v'zech, Ashrei v'zech. If I was Ashrei, I think I would need to go to a therapist because you get abused every day by hundreds of Asher Zech. Someone said to me, how many times do we say Asher Zech? The first three words, and think about the first three words. As many times we say things, we just are so rogel, Baruch Hashem, we daven so much, we sometimes forget what the words mean. Ashrei, Yoishrei V'zecha, and it's something that, and in Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, everyone sings Ashrei. But again, the Kavanah is sometimes jeopardized by everything else that we're busy doing, we sometimes forget. So Kaddish as well, people go through Kaddish. Someone told me he wanted to go through Kaddish, he sat down with the Oshkol Siddur, and he looked through every word, the meaning of Kaddish, and he couldn't believe it. He's been saying Amen now, he said, for 35 years, and most words there he was completely unfamiliar with. And when he lived through the Kaddish and he looked at every word, next time he heard Kaddish, he said, at least then he focused. I said, how long did it last for? He said that 3-4 times he heard Kaddish. After that, he was focused. And after that, back to where he was. Because we are human beings after all. But the idea is that when we do daven and we say these words, the kavana, the focus. Mishmura says, everyone knows the famous Chazal, Kernik Zadinoi, appears to shame. What does it mean, Bekol Koichai? You should be screaming, Amen Yishra, top of your lungs. He says, Bekol Koichai, Bekol Kavanosai. With all your kavana. Now, that is saying Amen Yesh Rabbah, but listening through Kaddish as well, focusing on what the words mean, at least you should know the verses elsewhere, you have to know who you say Amen to. You can't just say Amen randomly, you have to know. Now, if you want to say Amen properly, the Kaddish should be somewhat focused. And it's very, very difficult, because we daven Shemon Esra, the Moshe come to Marib, and then Marib, you finish Shemon Esra, now it's relaxing time, and the Kaddish says, Kaddish, Amen, Amen Yesh Rabbah, Amen Yesh Rabbah. There's this famous clip that was sent around many years ago, don't know if you ever saw it. I was still young, so I have an excuse. There's someone that took someone saying Amen Yishra Rabbah on Amen and put it, synchronized it with a video of a goat. See a goat in the field and it goes, Amen, Amen Yishra Rabbah, Amen Yishra Rabbah, Amen Baruch Hashemai. And you see this goat, and I was thinking to myself, you know, it's not so funny. This goat's not so far off from me, maybe. You know, he just wrote the goat sitting there eating in the field, Amen Yishra Rabbah, Amen, Amen Baruch Hashemai. Because sometimes we take a feel, we play the Fed, we sometimes feel that, you know, my mind is not really here. I'm just saying completely out of rote. A famous story of Sam Rebbe, someone called him davening, and he started to cry. He says, Astaka, I'm just doing a spiel, because that's me, I'm takapot. Or my kavanas, and I'm shaking away. He goes, but where's my mind? It's been miles away. And he said, the person's right. We get into the modes of davening. Rav Victor Miller says, you come every morning, organ to shul, 65 robots. He said, you know, scrap, stay home, and just send your robot. The robot will come, you park your robot there, and let him do the good job. He says, the boy is Rachman Liva, but the Rosh Hashanah wants to come on, he doesn't want the robot. He says, when the robot comes to Shacharis tomorrow morning, take over for a bit. Tell him, you know what, I'll run the show. And when it comes to davening, I'll put my kavanah in. But like I'm saying, it is very difficult. It's something that every person has struggles with, because however you are, from the top of the spectrum to the bottom, it's something we so ruggle with, we forget. And that's something that constantly needs chizuk, whether it's davening, benching, whether it's kaddish. And like Victor Miller said, don't become the robot that just sits there through davening. Rather, put a bit of effort and put a bit of kavanah in. The Shulchan Aruch says, the Sibin Sadi Ches, you see as well from the round and round, the way Shulchan Aruch, which is normally halacha, goes on to give so much advice about davening. So you see, this is not a problem of 2021. It's a problem that's been around for many, many years. For many, many years, from the beginning of time, a person davens, it's always been a very big difficulty to properly focus and give oneself over to davening. And that's why Shulchan Aruch, which is really be halacha, when to daven, what time to daven, what to wear, how to do it, he adds in loads and loads of tips and advice, kavanos. He says, in Siman Sadi Ches and Mispalo, Soch Shechavim Beliboy Pirish HaMilas. Number one is you've got to think about the words you're saying. Shemoiz Besosop. V'yasu kol machshavos, HaTorah to say, you should remove all machshavos which are disturbing you. Which again, a person comes to davening, and sometimes he's very, very preoccupied. His mind's everywhere, especially if a person's busy with something. It's davar only moving shalolim at the moment. His mind can be elsewhere. It says Shulchan Aruch, you should remove everything from your mind, which is probably one of the hardest things a person can ever do. To change focus, change track from something he's concentrating on to try and daven. That is purely aligned to the tefillah. How have you been davening in front of a king? How to think of a king today? That makes you Boris Johnson. I don't know how much spoil a person would be from that. But if you were talking in front of someone who you mamish felt was going to a chreis v'cham kineski, so you would focus. However busy you were, you would pause and think, okay, I'm going to speak to him. Let's do this properly. He said, the Shulchan Aruch says, Kavachem li melech malchem lochem kudsh baruch hu. All the moves in front of Hashem, a person must focus. Hashem knows what's going on in your mind. And again, it's even the fact he points this out, that a person tackles struggles, it's something that has to be pointed out and reminded constantly. He says, the Chassidim or Rishonim used to concentrate so much until their mind, their emotional state transcended their physical, and they became, he says, Mamash Kamal, like Nevoah. What's Nevoah? Nevoah is, your mind is so powerful, it connects up to the Baruch Shem's, mind, and you get Nevoah through that channel. Says the Shulchan Aruch, when you think, concentrate so hard, you transcend your physical, and you become mamsh, ready for Nevoah. You may not get Nevoah, but your mind connects in a ruchniyah, spiritual sense, so strongly with the Rebbein Shalom, that you are on the footsteps of Nevoah.
Isn't it because it's not our spoken language?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. I'm not saying a person's fault for this. But okay, I say the fact Shulchan Aruch tells you there's meant to be a struggle. But that's why something needs chizuk constantly. It needs a reminder. It's very, very difficult. And even if people buy the interlinear, it doesn't really help that much. It's still, you see, the English is hard to relate the English to the Hebrew. It's a big struggle. Yeah, it's much a big struggle. The Eitzah, there isn't. It's something that a person spends his whole life on. And that's why you find it many times in Chazal, the Gemara already discusses many times. Shulchan Aruch brings it down. There's many, many aids for tefillah. Person that can struggles. Just yesterday, my father had a knee replacement, and we were discussing, I was saying Tehillim. And one of my brothers said, yeah, we should finish Tehillim. Another brother said, why should we finish Tehillim? It doesn't make sense. When you finish Tehillim, everyone gets the 10 kapitlach, whatever, to say, and okay, I've got to, you sit down, and your job is to get through this. He says, take your 10 kapitlach. How long will it take you? 10 minutes, 5, whatever it is, take that time frame and sit down and say to him at your own pace. There's no pressure, you do one kapitel, you do one line, do one pasuk. The voice, Rachmona Liboboy, Godel Echad, Bekavon, Mimir, Shluy Bekavona, Echad Amarbe, Echad Amabit, Vachicham Libelo Shemaim. Doesn't matter how much you do. It's not about people a lot of times have to get through davening. They come to chakras, okay, how do I get through the next? Well, I wouldn't say, it depends how long your chakras is, fluctuating from half an hour to an hour. How do I get through this? Whereas either the person, take your next half an hour, and try and meditate, try and transcend, try and think about it, it'll be much more beneficial in that way. Now, davening is davening, we can't do anything about it, that's what Chazal said we've got to do, that's how they set it out. But many times, with the marshal of the Tehillim, a person sometimes feels they have to get through certain quotas. The fact that you have a quota dictated to you automatically puts you into a mode of, okay, how fast can I get through this? And that's why we struggle with the wording, with the foreign language, we struggle with Kavana, we struggle to understand what the Rebbein Shem is, we struggle to think we're talking to him. It's a struggle on every single front, Shaykh. Put a mezuzah on his door. Take a mezuzah, put it on your door, you're done. Take lulav, shake it, easy mitzvahs. Tefillah is one of the hardest mitzvahs to do in that respect. On the other hand, someone said to me the other day, davening is not for me, I don't find anything in davening. I said, it's so funny, it should be the opposite. Like I said, you have mezuzah on your door, there's no spiritual comfort that mezuzah offers you. Unless you do all the kavanas arizal and you get busy, but really, you take the mezuzah, you put it on your door, you don't feel anything. Even tefillin, you put on your own feel. Whereas davening, by definition, is an emotional state of affairs. It's something you can really feel. It's something you can lock into, and something which does you spiritually, emotionally. So davening should be the easiest mezuzah to feel, come out feeling different. You shake lulav, I think most people, they shake a lot of, feel nothing. They tell themselves, great, which is very choshev. But really, the physical thing of shaking a lot of, eating a matzah, sitting in a sukkah, doesn't really make you feel different. Whereas davening does. So grab onto the moment, use it properly, and taka try and feel that close to Hashem.
About davening in English.
Davening in English as well. So again, what Chazal said we have to do. But davening in English,
you're still better off davening
For sure.
If you don't understand it.
For sure, davening in English, where you talk to Hashem, and you properly feel the connection, for sure. I remember many years ago I had this share from Kiva Tatz about tefillah. And he said, if you take 3 steps back at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, and you're the same person as you began, he said, you failed miserably. There's no point. The whole thing is, at the end of tefillah, you feel like a different person. You connected, you moved to a different place. Whereas you do a regular mitzvah, you put on tefillin, it can't have to be in a different place afterwards, because it's a physical act, you put it on, you're done. Whereas tefillin, just by definition, is to move, is to find a closer relationship, to connect emotionally with the Rebbein Shalom. So tefillin is something that a person should really feel that he's somewhere else. And the starting point is the Kavala. And as I said, everyone has the same issue. We're all in the same boat, and so has it been from the days of Avraham Avinu till today. Every person struggles with tefillin. It's something that's very, very hard to do, hard to connect, hard to find meaning. But if a person puts a little bit of effort into it, someone said to me, he says, he learns Pitta, but he says Pitta Makteres every day. Now, Pitta Makteres, for all intents and purposes, is Chinese. We don't know what's going on. It's so that all the different, you've got all the spices and what they do with it, and then Yom Kippur comes in. How does Yom Kippur come into Pitzim HaKadosh? It's so confusing. Anyway, he sat down as well one day, he took an art scroll, he said he spent 15 minutes, he went through every single word in the art scroll, he understood what he's saying, the words. Then he looked at the footnotes, the explanation, and he understood exactly what's going on. It was so interesting how they mixed every day, and the leftovers they mixed again, and then they kept Yom Kippur, and he started to get a feeling for Pitzim HaKadosh. It came to life. But as long as a person doesn't have the time for this, which many of us are busy, sometimes we can go through so much of our davening, it's just dead, because it's something that we can't affiliate, something we can't associate, it's something that's so foreign to us, we don't feel any meaning. Avigdor Melech as well points out, he says, Leah was zoicha to all the big guns of the Shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, the kingship, the Malchus, Shimon was the Melam de Tinoikas, Reuven was the Bechor, all the big... The big aspects of the Shvatim, Leah was Zeicha to. Why? Because Leah thought she was marrying Esav. Leah was the one that davened so hard. Rachel was very confident. For sure she davened. But she knew, Mimolashech, she's the right wife of Yitzchak, of Yaakov. Mimolashech shouldn't be Zeicha to Shvatim. So she davened, but she didn't daven like Leah. A person davens out of desperation. That reaches a much higher level. That's why Leah was Zeicha to so much. Just to end off, I saw what we saw best as a new book, the heavier. On Nishmas Kol Chai, and in the introduction he says a very interesting story that happened to him. He said this story took place on a cold wintry night on his doorstep, but Mashulach knocked on his door and he gave him some money. And Mashulach said to him, I want to tell you a vat. He said, listen, you can tell me a vat, but I can't really afford to give much more. He said, look, I'll tell you the vat, you decide what it's worth. And he told him a vat. Always a warning to teach a vat, it's not the Pashat Peshat. But the message is true. He said to him, last week Tedra, Pashat Chai Sarah. He said, when a person is in an Eis Tzara, so what does he do? He says to Tehillim, which Tehillim do you say? So you say, well, it's locked Tehillim, say, but the class one comes to mind, Ya'al Hashem Be'im Tzara. Ya'al Hashem Be'im Tzara. Capital Chaf, Ya'al Hashem Be'im Tzara. And how do you say it? So you say it with so much energy, so much enthusiasm, so genuine, so real, because your mom is begging for a Yeshua. He says, then the Yeshua comes, Baruch Hashem, the child gets engaged, you make the money, the person has a Frosh Aleim, the Yeshua comes. What little do you say? Little Kuf. Why Kuf? We know Kuf, Mizmor L'Saida. How's it Mizmor L'Saida? So it's very simple. You watch people and they do something. Ah, Shkech. That's generous. Shkech. Mizmor L'Saida, Shkech Hashem. Very good. Thank you very much. And that's it. Sarah was Bas Kuf, Kabas Chof. She said Kapitel Kuf with the same genuinely, the same enthusiasm, the same reality as she said Kapitel Chof. The same way she cried to Hashem, please you must give me a son. For all her life she cried and cried for her children. When she got the child, she cried out thank you. She cried out appreciation. The same effort she went to demand it, the same effort when she went to request it, was the same effort and excitement she had in the tefillah to thank Hashem. Her bas kuf goes kabas chof. So when we daven at least, the tefillahs of Moedim, Baruch Hashem, people have, they have lots. You look back 100 years ago, people have what we have today. At least the Moedim, the appreciation, the thank you, that's much easier to identify with, much easier to downfall and to thank Hashem for what we have. And with that, hopefully, we'll be zeichet to the Gula.
Okay. Good.